I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Psalm number 46. Psalm 46 for the preaching of God's word. Psalm 46, and I'll be reading 11 verses here. Psalm 46 and verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the fact that we serve a great God. Dear Lord, we are humbled and privileged by the opportunity that we have to have a personal relationship with you through your precious Son who gave his life on a rugged cross, shed his blood so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, I pray that you would bless in a special way as your word goes forth. Many needs exist upon hearts, many burdens that are being borne that need to be lifted. Pray that you would show yourself strong and mighty. May you speak to each heart in a special way. May you use your word to accomplish your will and to bring comfort where needed, hope and encouragement. And I pray that if there's someone here today who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that that one would come to know you and experience the joys of sins forgiven and to experience a personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would bless and give me the words you'll have me to say for this occasion, that they'll not be my words, but they'll be your words, and that you'll hide me behind the bloodstained banner of the cross, and may in no way may your glory be taken in any way or shape or form, and that you alone would be worthy of all. We know you're worthy of the praise and that you'll receive it today. Thank you once again for this time. Bless, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, from the precious Holy Spirit. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. This summer, in which we are still currently in, has been a period of quite a bit of travel for many here at our church. And we say collectively, thank you, God, for the safety that he's granted to all those who have traveled and are still traveling. Trust that they'll experience safety by land, by sea, or by air. You know, we say land and sea and air, but I have a sneaky suspicion that we are generally more concerned about the travel by sea and especially by air. I believe this is for a variety of different reasons. First of all, we don't travel by sea and air especially as much. And so our experiences on sea and air are far less than those on land, contributing to less confidence that we personally have when we travel by air. Another reason why we probably are more concerned about travel by air is that we don't have control over those vessels. And so we have to rely on another to get us from one destination to another. We are forced to actually put our faith and trust that they know what they are doing and they will get us there safely. Another reason I believe that this is the case is because as human beings, and we know this, we are made by Almighty God to survive and to live on land. Amen? And so our past experiences as human beings tells us that land is a safe place. It's where we live. It's where we function. It's where we have developed the confidence that we are made to place our feet on the ground. Confidence is a powerful thing. But you ever wonder where confidence comes from? Confidence is built on successful experience. But it's also a cyclical effect because successful experience also requires that we have confidence. I'm amazed at how powerful the mind is. And sometimes the mind can also work against you. I was traveling this past week from St. Kitts to Nevis. And this is something for those of us who are resident here in these two beautiful islands. It's something that I'm sure most of us do on a regular basis. But somehow, even though I've traveled so many times between St. Kitts and Nevis by boat, this past week, I did not enjoy that sail. It was very uncomfortable. And it wasn't necessarily because the water was rough or the waves were roaring and the wind was blowing. But as I was in one of these boats and vessels, which I won't disclose the name for sake of affecting their business in a negative way, since we know that this program is aired in a variety of places. But I was very nervous because I was in the back of the boat, and for some reason, the sound of the engine just did not sound normal to me. It kept revving and seeming as if it was revving and somehow dying a little bit, and it sounded like the engine was about to stall. And I kept looking around at everybody, wondering if anybody else other than myself seemed to be concerned. And probably what was also playing in my mind, I had heard through the grapevine that one of these light boats had stalled somewhere in the channel. And so I was very, very uncomfortable and very nervous. And I don't know if this compounded the issue for me, but coincidentally, I was flying just about 2 weeks ago from St. Martin and Anguilla to Nevis. And the plane took a diversion and went to St. Eustatius on its way to Nevis to drop off a pilot. And so on the way from St. Eustatius to Nevis, which should be a very short flight, you shortly get to St. Kitts in a short period of time. Halfway between Station and St. Kitts, I promise you, the engine sounded like it was about to stall. I don't know if it's my mind playing tricks on me, but I think some of these young people will testify that these nine-seaters, the engines make all kinds of strange sounds and noises that just is disconcerting. And halfway between St. Eustatius and St. Kitts, the engine sounded like it's about to stall. And I saw the pilot all of a sudden put his hand up. I was sitting right behind him, put his hand up and move some switches. And I'm there looking at trying to look at his demeanor to see if he seemed nervous. And I was like, oh Lord, please, please help me see my family again. Oh my. And so all of these thoughts were playing in my mind of these engines that are making these sounds that the steamer's about, that they're about to stall. Thank God, I not only landed safely, but obviously arrived at the port safely, where my feet ended up on ground once again, and I said, thank you, Lord. Amen? Confidence is something that can come and go in a based on a variety of different personal experiences. But the Bible teaches that we are to place our confidence firmly in God. Amen? In Psalm number 46, the psalmist acknowledges the perils, the dangers, the difficulties that often swirl around us. But he emphasizes in this psalm that his confidence was in Almighty God. Look at verse number 10. He says and makes this phrase, a very familiar verse to most of us. He says, be still and know that I am God. Amen. That is a statement of confidence. We have a lot of crazy things happening in our world today. It's right at our doorsteps. It's in our schools. It's in our communities. It is in our nation. We have health concerns. We have a variety of different things that are affecting us. But like the psalmist here in Psalm 46, we're going to have confidence, not necessarily in ourselves, but confidence in God. And I want to preach a message this morning that I've entitled simply, Confidence in God. Listen, we're living in a world where we have these phrases, believe in yourself. And listen, nothing is wrong with having some confidence to be able to engage in particular activities, but it is even more important and critical to place our confidence in God. And so we want to look at this psalm today, confidence in God. When you're in that aircraft and it's bumpy, confidence in God. When you're in that boat and it's rocking from side to side, confidence in God. When you have that health report that you just don't know what to do, what's going to be happening tomorrow, what's going to be the diagnosis, confidence in God. When you go to the bank and it seems as though there's less there than you thought was there, confidence in God. The psalmist says, we're going to have some confidence in God. Now, I want to draw your attention to verse number 1. And notice, this psalmist was saying, I'm not having confidence in God just because I'm trying to make myself feel good. He's saying, listen, there's some reasons why I've been able to have and to place my confidence squarely in God. He says, first of all, it's because of his stellar performance. He says, listen, God has proven himself time and time and time again. He has a proven track record. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen. He was saying, in other words, our God and my God is an on-time God. Amen. A present help. He shows up right on time. We know that song, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God. Yes, he is. That's the kind of God we serve. He says, I can have confidence in him. I will not fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling, and the aircraft is bumping, and the boat is rocking, I will have confidence in God. Why? Because of his stellar performance. He has a proven track record. But he says, I'm also going to have confidence in God because of his secure presence. His secure presence. Look at verse number 4. He says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This river here is a reference, physically speaking, to the waters of Siloam, which went softly by the city of Jerusalem. And though this river was not one of great depth or breadth, yet the waters of it were made serviceable to the defense of Jerusalem in Hezekiah's time. But spiritually speaking, this river is a symbol of God's grace in the lives of those who are doing his will. You see, God's grace is amazing. Amen. Let me tell you, when you're going through a difficulty, there's nothing like knowing and experiencing the evidence of God's grace upon your life. Amen. Even in that trying situation. And the streams are his promises. You look here, he says, the whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. In our age in which we live, this age of grace, God makes his presence known and felt in the lives of his people through his commissioned and ordained local New Testament church. That's the vehicle that God has ordained to be able to carry out his will. And so he's simply saying here, but for our context, that God's grace, his presence, his promises are made available to those who are engaged in doing his will. He's saying God is in the midst of her. Verse number 5. I'm sure children and adults alike would remember when you were younger and you experienced a terrible thunderstorm, and that thunder would crack, and it would cause the house to rattle and the doors to shake. And as a child, if you were in your own room, you would run to your parents' room like I did. And you got into their room and the thunder cracked and the lightning lit up the sky, but somehow you just felt a little better. Why? Because your parents were right there. God says, the psalmist says here, I've been in some difficult situations, but just knowing that God's presence was there with me, I felt better, amen? I have some confidence in God. He says, he is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early, amen? Let me tell you something. Being in the church where God's presence, his provision and his protection, listen, it is a hedge for your life. It is a place of protection for your family. By the way, don't ever hinder the work of God. Listen, God says, you know why you don't hinder the work of God? God says, I will help her. So if you hinder the work of God and God helps her, you find yourself in an unfortunate place of being anti against what God is doing, which is a very dangerous place to be. Because God says, I will help her. We can have confidence in God because of his secure presence. I'm telling you, it's amazing to me that sometimes you ever wonder futuristically, and thinking ahead. Maybe you've never encountered a particular experience, and you wonder, if this were to happen to me, can I handle it? Can I deal with it? And you doubt your ability to be able to go through what someone else goes through. But this is the amazing thing about God's grace, that when that situation takes place in your life, God's grace shows up in a way that you could not even imagine were possible. And you say, how am I able to make it? It's because of God's amazing grace. His secure presence. He gives you what you need when you need it. The psalmist says, I can have confidence in God Why? Not because I have a greater intellect. Not because I have more abilities and contacts than anyone else. But God is in the midst. And his presence has given me comfort and peace. The psalmist says, I can have confidence in God because of his stellar performance, because of his secure presence. But he says, I can also have confidence in God because of his supreme power. This is verse number 6. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. You know what the psalmist was saying? Listen, my God is without peer. He has no equal. There's no one like him. He said it was a no contest. He uttered, listen, they ranted and they raved and they jumped and they pranced and God just spoke and the earth melted. He says, that's the kind of God I serve. I can have confidence in him. He was here boasting on his God. He says, listen, your false God, God cannot do what my God can do. He says, listen, get this. The result is predetermined. We're just going through the motion because we are on the winning side. You know, Satan tries to counterfeit God. His very actions not only produce counterfeit stuff, but what he does, make no mistake, is subject to God. You see, Satan can only go so far, but no further. He's on a leash. He can only do so much. And the psalmist is saying, listen, my God is greater. No matter what takes place, it is a no contest. It's kind of like when my dad and I are playing draft. The result is already predetermined. I already know he is going to win. And I've learned from experience that even when it looks like I'm going to win, he already has a plan. He's just toying with me and playing around to just make me feel like it's a contest. And then eventually I lose the game. You missed it. That sounds like a defeatist attitude, Pastor. But I've learned from experience. But the psalmist says, when it comes to my God, he is without comparison. He is without equal. He has no peer. He says it's a no contest. His supreme power. And he says here, I want you to not only recognize that he's without peer, but I want you to witness the proof. Listen, let me give you some evidence. He says, verse number 8, come. Behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He's simply saying, let me show you what my God can do. Psalm 19 and verse number 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Our God is a great God. Witness the evidence. I often chuckle when the heathen, for want of a better term, but those who without even any regard or respect, wags their proverbial finger in the face of God and flex their muscles. And yet, you have to wonder and ask the question, can your God breathe life into man? Can your God, whoever he is, if you don't believe in the one true God, can he cause a sun to rise in the east and set in the west? Can your God open doors that no man can shut? Can your God make a way where there seems to be no way? He says here, listen, Come behold what God does. Our God does amazing things. Listen, I don't have time to give you all the evidence personally, but you can identify in your own situation that there are things that God does that cannot be duplicated. Amen. Whenever you're beginning to doubt the goodness or the power of God, take some time to recall. Take some time to observe. Take some time to witness and to behold the works of our great God. The psalmist says, I can have confidence in God because of his supreme power. But notice number four, he says, I can have confidence in God because of his sovereign position. Look at verse number 10. He says, there's a reality that I have to wrap my mind around. Anytime I'm beginning to wonder what's going on and how am I going to handle this situation, he says, the reality is that I ought to be still and know that I am God. Speaking of the sovereign one, he says, listen, God is in control. He says, there's no one above him. Listen, God reports to no one. Have you ever been in a situation where you needed some results and you needed to go all the way to the top? Sometimes you go to an office or you call customer service and you're explaining to somebody the details of your situation that you need a resolution. And after explaining to them for 5 or 10 minutes, you recognize, based on their answers, they can't help you. What's your response? Can you get me a supervisor? Sometimes you get the supervisor and you need the supervisor's supervisor. And then you need the supervisor's supervisor's supervisor. And ultimately, you may need to go to the very top. Listen, the psalmist says, when it comes to my God, he is already at the top. There is nothing outside of his domain. There is no avenue that he would ever say or is in reality outside of his purview. He says his sovereign position. God says, be still and know that I am God. He says, because of this reality, there's a particular response you ought to have. He says, because you know that God is in charge, guess what you ought to do? Be still. He says, be still. That's a response of confidence. He says, don't fret. I'm in charge. God's got this. He says, this response comes about because I've already understood the reality that he's in control. There's a response to the reality that God is sovereign. He's in a sovereign position. But notice, the psalmist says, I can have confidence in God, not just because of his stellar performance, his secure presence, his supreme power, and his sovereign position, but he says, number 5, there's a stated purpose. And look at the latter part of verse number 10. He says, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And here's what the psalmist is saying. He's saying, when it's all said and done, all the earth will know that God is God. It's kind of humorous to see people at times who act like they are in charge when they're really not. But they want to give you an impression that, listen, I'm the big wig around here. But when you remove the facade, you eventually recognize that, well, no, you're really not in charge. And if you observe what's happening in our world, there are times when I believe that God allows circumstances to bring man to his collective knees. Why? Because man has asserted himself. Man has positioned himself or sought to position himself in a place that is above God, which he cannot have. I want you to turn with me in the book of Exodus chapter 5. It is a wonderful example in the word of God of this. And in Exodus chapter 5, we know that Pharaoh was guilty of this activity of seeking to usurp the authority of Almighty God. We know the background to this story, and God raises up Moses to go into Pharaoh and to ask Pharaoh to let his people go. And the Bible says in chapter 5 and verse number 1 of Exodus, afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." You see, Pharaoh thought that he was in charge, but he had another thing coming, because he was not in charge. Amen. God was and will always be in control. Turn over to Exodus chapter 14 now, and I want you to see what God said in response to Pharaoh's mindset. And in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, which we read in the scripture reading, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still." There is that attitude of confidence once again. "And see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace." And look at what the Bible says in verse number 17. "And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen." God was simply saying, "I will honor myself. I will magnify myself in this earth to let this earth know and let the heathen know that I am God." There's a stated purpose. He says, "I will be exalted among the heathen." You ever notice that people disregard the authority and the sovereignty of God? And when a little wind blows, it's a little in the region of 70 to 100 miles an hour, and all of a sudden, everybody is calling on God, "Oh God, please help us." You know what God is doing? He's gaining, he's exalting himself. He's magnifying himself in the earth. God gets glory in this earth through a variety of different circumstances. He says, that's my stated purpose. But notice finally, the psalmist says, "I can have confidence in God because there's a special partnership." He says, look at the pronouns here. Verse number 1. He says, "God is our refuge." Verse number 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Verse number 11, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Listen, you can have confidence in God when you have a personal relationship with him. When he is with you and you are with him. This entire psalm was not written from someone who just knew about God, but it was written by someone who knew God for himself. You would know that there are different things that you can ask somebody when you have a personal relationship with them. Amen? If I were to go to my mom and I were to say, "Mommy, I'm in a bind. Can I borrow $200 until next week?" You know what's going to happen? She would willingly give me and probably even tell me keep it if I try to give her back. That's just what mothers do. And fathers. Why? Because there's a particular relationship. But if I go to a total stranger and somebody on the street and I say, "Man, can you give me $200 this next week?" They say, "Well, I don't know you like that." We're not like that. Why? There is a different relationship. Amen? Brethren, when it comes to confidence in God, it's based on being able to say, "That is my God. You are my God. I am your child." Not just the God of this world, but you are my God. You see how many times the psalmist says, listen, God, our God, my God. He says, I can have confidence in God because of there's a special partnership that exists, a special relationship. You are my God. I'm your child. Confidence. The variety of different things that can happen in this world to shake our confidence. Shake our confidence in ourselves. Shake our confidence in our resources. Shake our confidence in our abilities. But absolutely nothing should shake our confidence in God. And may God help us to place our confidence in Him, because He's never failed and He never will. If you're here today and you don't know Him as your personal Lord and Savior, you get to know Him. You accept His provision that has been made through His Son, who shed His blood on a rugged cross so that barrier could be taken away, that barrier of sin, and engage and experience a personal relationship that allow you to be able to say, like the psalmist, "God is my refuge, my strength, a very present help in trouble." And ultimately, though the winds roar and the waves and the billows roll, you'll be able to say, "I can be still and know that you are God." Confidence in God.